O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Purport. Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges water, but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that any person, regardless of birth, as Shudra, woman or merchant, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by doing so, can return to Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. It's such an important sentence. Let us hear it again. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. The pure devotees, whose only business is serving, are honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicate such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone, therefore, who takes shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master, can be at once purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, for they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as wise lords, according to revealed scriptures. The sincere disciple of the pure devotee considers the spiritual master equal to the Lord, but always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. Please recite with me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse is about a very important item of devotional life, that is finding shelter. Srila Prabhupada said to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. That's how to actually do it, to find the shelter of the Lord. One needs to find the shelter of a pure devotee. There are many ways one could explain this verse, but I have chosen to take the Kartik time to explain this in a Vrindavan related way. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where the gopis explain that of all the devotees of the Lord, Giriraj is the greatest. And they give several reasons for their judgment. They say that Giriraj has two aspects. One is, he serves the dear devotees of Lord Krishna, the cows, by supplying grass and water and things. Then he serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his cowherd boyfriends by supplying caves where they can find shelter from the sun during the time when it's summer, and where they can find also shelter against cold when it's winter. And then they say another reason why Giriraj is the greatest of all devotees, because his ecstasy in his service is the greatest. He has hairs, he has grass on his body, which are signs of the ecstatic standing of hairs on end, and he perspires in ecstasy, that is the morning dew, and he cries in ecstasy, and that are the waterfalls which come down from him. So in this way, both by service to Krishna and the devotees, as well as by being genuinely moved with transcendental ecstasy, the gopis recognize Giriraj as the greatest of devotees. Now, Giriraj, in the purport to this verse, where the gopis give their judgment, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes a very important sentence. He says, everything becomes possible by the mercy of a great devotee. He relates that to Giriraj, and you will be very pleased to hear that more and more people in modern India have somehow experienced this, so that you find an increasing, really a markedly increasing number of devotees, and just people from the towns surrounding Vrindavan go on Giriraj Parikrama. At the time when there is the full moon, you will find as many people as surrounding or going around Giriraj as you will find. I mean, I'm not yet so experienced in America, but on Broadway, on the daylight, when they go shopping and go for cultural entertainment, you know, it's really a stream of people making Giriraj Parikrama, because they are somehow convinced that everything becomes possible by the mercy of a great devotee. So the devotees of Krishna, who do not go with mixed interest, many of these people have karmic interests. The devotees of Krishna know that Giriraj is able to do the impossible. For the devotee, in his humility, he feels it's impossible that my heart becomes melted with ecstatic love for Krishna. But this actually is possible by the mercy of Giriraj, and therefore the devotees come to Giriraj and look for full shelter. And how this is done, and what are some points around this taking shelter at Giriraj, will be the subject matter of this lecture, and I believe another, because we will not go through all the wonderful material which is available. So we will start today, and most probably continue another day. So I would request you to listen to these points which we have collected from the books with two ears. One ear should understand just the subject, and the other ear should be the very thoughtful ear which tries to understand and extract some principles which we can apply also here in the West, in the midst of New York, where we want to take also shelter at the lotus feet of a great devotee, so that we can achieve our devotional wishes and desires one day by their mercy. So, Giriraj, as I said, is described as Haridasa Varyo, the best of all Haridasas. Usually, the commentators say there are three especially accomplished servants of the Lord, that's Yudhishthira, Uddhava, and then the best of them, that is Giriraj. Huh? So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would always have a high regard of Giriraj, and he built even a Giriraj hill, a replica of Giriraj in Sridham Mayapur. Those of you who have visited Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's temple, I think it's called the Chaitanya Math, they have seen there's a Radhakund, but also there is a Giriraj. And on that, before that Giriraj, he fixed a verse. He wrote, not he wrote, maybe he did not wrote, right, but there is a verse which I would like to chant with you. It's a verse which offers obeisances to this best of the devotee. The verse says, I offer my obeisances to the king of mountains, who is named Govardhan. He destroys unlimited afflictions and bestows the highest bliss. Is this in your interest, to be free from afflictions and be full of the highest bliss, which is Krishna consciousness? I think you all can identify with this person. Please kindly repeat after me. Namaste Girirajaya.
Namaste Girirajaya.
Gauravadana namine.
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya.
Paramananda Daine. Once again, the translation. I offer my obeisances to the king of mountains. Giriraj, Giri means mountain, and Raj, the king, who is named Govardhan. He destroys unlimited afflictions and bestows the highest bliss. This, by the way, is what you can expect if you properly connect with a great devotee. Your miseries will go. In the Bhagavatam it is said that there is an ocean of tears in this world which gets constantly filled, oh what a soul-wrenching description, by the tears of the conditioned souls who suffer various afflictions. So when we find shelter under the cooling lotus feet of the devotee and can serve him and just find somehow a tiny place in his mission, the tears stop. These pure devotees have come out to dry come to dry out the ocean of tears by their mercy. Hare Krishna. Yes. And they are bestowing Krishna consciousness just by their, like it is said here, by coming in touch with them. O Sudha, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the Ganges water can sanctify only after prolonged use. So this is what these great souls do. Yeah. So Giriraj is a very interesting devotee. He is actually Krishna in the mood of a devotee. Krishna showed that when he took the personified form of Krishna, of Giriraj, I'm sorry, and he sat in a huge form there, declaring, Shailosmi, I'm that Shaila. Shaila means rock. I'm that rock. So you might ask yourself, how Krishna in the mood of a devotee? I mean, this is very difficult for me to understand. But please go and understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is also Krishna, but he came in the mood of the devotee of Krishna. So Giriraj has this mood. Therefore, he's really the best of the devotees. He's the Lord himself, but in the mood of a devotee, and he prefers to just be a devotee. At the same time, devotees sometimes, or many times, take a rock from the Giriraj and they worship him, give him a lot of worship, and give him sweets, just like Krishna likes so much sweets. Devotees usually don't eat such huge proportions of sweets. But here Giriraj is a sweet lover. And because he's Krishna in the mood of a devotee. Krishna is known as the unlimited lover of, you know, he steals the butter which is mixed with sugar, and he's just very, very eager for that. So Giriraj is a Krishna in the mood of a devotee. And he does his service even to the cows who are dear to Krishna. Let me tell you a little bit about Giriraj glories. Lord Krishna, you are very active today, and this is the Sunday feast, or... No, please continue. I'm not disturbed. I'm in fact glad in my heart to see how you treat this pumpkin. So everywhere solid activity is going on. Wonderful. So please listen while you do these activities very carefully. Krishna had watched for the first 6 years of his appearance in Vrindavan, or stay in Vrindavan, how the Brijbasis brought every day, no, every year, once a year, much products from the fields and also milk products to the worship of Lord Indra. They called this puja an Indra puja, and the reason of this puja was explained, or the reason for this puja was explained by Nanda Maharaj when Krishna asked him. He said, well, Indra gives us rain, and we are a farming community and totally dependent on the mercy of this king of the Devatas. Therefore, we show him our respect once a year in an Indra Puja. My dear devotees, last year when I stayed at the banks of Mother Ganga in the small place called Kanai Natashala, I saw how on the 8th of November, I remember, all the jungle people who lived there came with their agricultural produce to the banks of River Ganga to perform not an Indra Puja, but a Ganga Puja and a Surya Puja, a sun god puja, because they reasoned, we are dependent on Ganges, Mother Ganga, and also on the sun. So let us worship with great abundance. And I thought it was very interesting to see how they brought their agricultural produce, which they balanced on their heads, and how they lovingly gave it to Mother Ganga, and so on. So it must have been something like that, only much, much, much more opulent. And so Lord Krishna had watched this for six years, but then when he turned seven, he did something. He stopped the yagya, because in Krishna's mind was a deep, deep spiritual thought. He thought, one attains that which one honors and worships. So now they worship Indra. They should worship me to attain the supreme abode. So therefore, this is not good. This is a principle. Whatever you honor or worship in your life, for whatever you keep a special place, that place of devotion in your heart, that you will obtain in your lives. It's recommended when you do your sadhana or your spiritual practice, that you keep in your mind the satya, that means the goal. Goal means you want to attain love of God one day. So Krishna thought, here is some inconsistency, something I do not wish my devotees to do. They should exclusively worship me. And therefore, after thinking like this, he had a serious talk with his father, in which we all have read in Krishna book, in which he very philosophically convinced Nanda Maharaj to take the items which were already there for the Indra Puja. Please know, they had been already collected. he convinced Nanda Maharaj to take those same items to worship Giriraj. Now imagine, Indra is a conditioned soul. He's much, much, much more elevated than us in many ways, or cultured, you could say, or enabled. I mean, he's the king of the heavenly beings. But he has also some psychology which we know. Imagine, it's a birthday, and all your friends have assembled one day before the birthday, the actual birthday. They have come from all over America, and they have brought presents. You see them in the living room. They're piled up, but they are still packaged. And you come, you see this, it's a huge array of presents, and you already have an idea what it could be. Maybe it is a very useful wristwatch or very useful tape recorder. Nowadays we have a CD recorder. Maybe it's something which you appreciate. And then one person comes into this living room and says, these gifts are not for you, Radha Vallabha. We will give them to a rock, to a mountain. You would most probably feel some sense of increasing, why? why? You know, and then this why would maybe be transformed into something like a slight envy or anger or resentment to this person. I mean, these were my presents, my birthday. Maybe as a devotee you would, this is a little unusual situation, maybe because you don't get so many birthday presents. But let us say an ordinary person, maybe not Radha Vallabha, who's an extraordinary person, but an ordinary person, he would feel some resentment, and then protest, and then even anger. So Indra thought, who is this boy? Who came and convinced the Brijbasis to break a tradition of Indra Puja, my worship? And he had the audacity to take all these items and give them to a rock, to a hill. Long ago, we have cut the wings of the hill. No, that was Prito Maharaj. It's not important. There was some wing cutting of hills, but that. So why has he done this? And he became just angry. It was really an anger which came from a hurt feeling. His was, you know, it was a serious attack on his position. He was very, very angry. He was in great distress. Especially after Krishna had performed the puja to Giriraj with all that paraphernalia meant to him, he was in distress. And then he became... He became just mad with anger, and he decided to take revenge. And you all know what he did. He summoned the powerful clouds of which are used at the time of destruction of the universe, the Sambhataka clouds, and it began raining. The rain fell as thick as pillars from the sky. All of Vrindavan became drowned in this water. You couldn't see, distinguish high and low because everything was flooded. And at that time, Krishna did something very, very wonderful. Krishna, when he saw that Indra was really trying to flood Vrindavan, which meant he would kill all his relatives, all his friends, all the gopis, all the gopas, all the cows, Krishna became decided, I will kill Indra now. You know, like he had done with other demons. This was a demoniac attack, you know. It was a life-threatening attack. But then he considered, Indra is my devotee. He's a mixed devotee. He has also some material interests. But he is my devotee. And I do something very special with my devotees who become proud or impossible to deal with. I will bring them into the kingdom of humility. And then he did so. He humiliated. I hope that's the right English word. Humiliated. Humiliated. Not tated. Humiliated. Indra by showing how he could defeat the pride with the tip of his little finger. And how he did this, and what loving motive was in Krishna's mind. We have extracted from scripture, from the Bhagavata, I mean, that's there in the Bhagavatam. And I would like to do this because, see, the theme of the month of Kartik has a lot to do with this. The theme of this sacred month is that our pride is broken so that we can approach the Lord of our hearts. There are several Leelas. The Damodar Leela, this is the Damodar month, and I think you remember, or you know, that in this Damodar Leela, the pride of two other devatas was broken. Who knows their names? Manigriva and Nalakumera. Huh? Yes. He broke them. He broke the pride, and he, Krishna, Lord Damodar, really broke them. Broke the pride. He broke the tree bodies in which these devatas, who had become pride, and who had, enjoyed, in different, sensuous way, he broke these trees and he broke their pride, because this is what Krishna does. There is a verse that Krishna says, I do not like my devotees to become proud, and then I do something to alleviate them from this pride. So we will hear, as this is a lecture series, as the lecture series unfolds, about this theme, which will come out, I'm a very useless speaker, but I will try my best to bring this theme out so that you can profit and take and enter this mood of the Damodar month in the same way that also we will try in this month to serve the Lord more, to give do something which is especially set aside for him, and we will become humble, surrendered devotees in this month. This is our objective. Hare Krishna. So we will end here and do the puja. But please stay tuned in. It's a very, very wonderful subject with many, many interesting aspects which we can learn from this Krishna Leela. Please tune in. It's of great interest for our spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gounitai ki jai, Gou Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.